us cry, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were the children of Abraham, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own. He sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The entire season of Lent is a period of increasing liberation. We recapitulate that exodus that Moses led the Israelites from slavery to Pharaoh through the desert into the Promised Land, something that was fulfilled in the new and eternal Passover that Jesus did from slavery to sin through the waters of baptism signified by the Red Sea, through the desert of the exile of earthly life to the eternal Jerusalem. We mark that liberation from the pigsties and return to the Father's house. Through prayer, God wants to set us free from self-reliance, from fasting, from slavery to our appetites, from almsgiving, to our clutching on to things. Today, as we get closer to Holy Week, the Church puts before us three mutually interpretable helps as part of this liberation, three gifts that the Lord gives us to unbind the shackles. First is faith. We see that extraordinary faith in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, bravo, sister. That's always a tongue-tying phrase. Haza, Ananias, and Mishael is a little bit easier. There are other names. But they had faith when they were thrown into that white-hot furnace. They trusted in the Lord. There's no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God whom we serve can save us, they knew that he could. May he save us. But even if not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up. They were living in the real, real world, which was not the world of handmade gods. And they were entrusting themselves to God, who could free them. They didn't know that he would. They weren't going to presume upon his will, upon the way God would use their life and their death for his glory. They trusted that he knew better than they. But but they were not going to believe a falsity, even to save their own life. As we heard on Sunday, the only path to life is to go the way of the grain of wheat, to lose our life in order to save it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that type of liberating faith. But you notice something really quite curious in today's gospel. I'm sure you all picked it up. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, faith alone is not enough. Because sometimes faith can be softened. We can begin to say that we have faith because we believe in the facts of faith. And that's an aspect of faith, but it's the secondary aspect of faith. The primary aspect of faith is this living total entrustment of ourselves to the one who has affirmed those truths. And what was happening here in the gospel is that there were Jews who believed in Jesus, believed that he had some type of relationship from God, but they were still enslaved, and that slavery was preventing their acting according to the consequence of faith. So Jesus gives us the two other, again, connected aspects of the means by which he unloosens our shackles. The first is the truth, which can't just be known, but it must be lived. He says paradigmatically, four parts to this Exodus. If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. First, we have to remain in his word. If we have faith, we have to abide in him and allow him to abide in us, to allow our whole lives to become a living exegesis of his word. Remaining there doesn't mean making a choice to depart, not making a choice to depart. Remaining there means an active verb that we're seeking to abide in the word of the Lord. To remain in his word. That's the precondition for us truly being his disciples. A disciple is not one who knows what the master teaches. A disciple is one who follows what the master teaches. It's not just to know the truth, but to live it. If we truly become his disciples by remaining in his word, then we will know the truth. It seems like the sequence is a little bit out of order. But the verb here in Greek is the equivalent of conhecer in French, or conhecer in Portuguese or Spanish, or conoscere in Italian. It's not factual knowledge to know that, but it's personal knowledge to know someone. You will know the truth intimately, the way that we know a friend, because the truth we know is not a body of facts. The truth has a capital T and is enfleshed in the Lord Jesus. This is the way we come to know the truth, by remaining in the words that he says and becoming his followers, becoming his good students. And once we know Jesus, the truth, then we are free. The truth liberates us. If we don't know the truth, therefore, incarnate, if we're not his disciples, if we're not remaining in his word, we are not free. So many people are enslaved today, including those who already believe somewhat in the Lord Jesus, because they don't follow this map of the Exodus. And the third that God gives us is divine filiation. When we know the Lord in this way, when he sets us free, then we become sons in the Son. You remember that beautiful part in the prologue of St. John's Gospel, where he says, but to those who did accept him, he gave them power to become children of God. That real liberation is to know who we genuinely are. And it's a confidence that comes from the love of the Father that we see enfleshed in Jesus, who, when the Father was given a choice between our being eternally self-alienated from him were allowing his son to be brutally murdered on Calvary, in a sense, loved us more. He chose us. Jesus willingly echoed in his own saving life that choice of the Father. He so willed that we not perish that he gave his only son. And knowing that truth allows us, no matter what happens in life, to remain who we truly are, to remain united with the Lord. We will be all thrown into fiery furnaces. We will all be put to the test many ways. But like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, we have another one looking like a son of man in the midst of that fire, with us to liberate us, interiorly always, exteriorly often. But whether he liberates us exteriorly or not, we are free if we're remaining in him. What is our filiation? When it comes right down to it, there were these Jesus interlocutors in the gospel who didn't want to accept the full consequence of the faith. They were in many ways like Judas. They had followed Jesus. They were his groupies. But they hadn't received the gift of filiation because they didn't really want to believe in him in the depth that he was calling them to. So Jesus, with mercy, called them out. He announced to them the truth so that they would have a chance to look at themselves in the mirror of that truth and convert and be liberated and come to be his disciples, come to be set free, but they refused. So Jesus gave them one of the most important fraternal corrections of all time. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. This faith is a personal, total entrustment over to God and following him wherever he asks, even if he asks to leave Ur and go to an unknown place, even to believe, contrary to the facts of biology, that you would become the father of many nations, even to believe that if you were to sacrifice the son of the promise, God would raise him from the dead. But instead of doing these works of Abraham, works of faith, ever stronger, you are trying to kill me, the man who told you the truth. This is not divine filiation. This is diabolical filiation. This is exactly how the devil seeks to engender his children. And they were trying to kill the Lord. Now, we would say, I would never crucify the Lord. But every time that we choose deliberately to sin, there's a part of this diabolical engendering that takes place in us. And that's why it's so important for us to hasten to the sacrament of God's mercy so that he can again beget us fully like he did on the day of our baptism, restoring our soul to that extraordinary gift. If God were your Father, Jesus stresses, you would love me. Today, as we prepare to receive him who sets us free, let us ask for the grace to remain in his word, to become his disciples, to know him who is the truth that liberates us, the truth whom we now love from the inside out. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.